Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Internet Marketing.
I'm here kickstarting my morning with Mordy Overstein, Head of SEO Branding at Wix. I've been in the SEO space for over a decade now, and I've never come across Mordy, anyone with the job title Head of SEO Branding. So this is a new thing to me, and I think it's a good thing. And I think, you know, we're going to talk about the concept of SEO branding and the overlap between the two today. But as a starting point for today, number one, welcome to the podcast. And number two, how did you get involved in this space?
Well, thanks for having me. And two, I have no idea. it started out, I just worked for a company called Rank Ranger. They're recently bought out by SimilarWeb. And I'm trying to think of the year, 2015, 2016, something like that. I was managing their content. We're trying to build an organic presence around, not just around the core money keywords. I think for some of those, we were kind of okay, but we're trying to use informational content in order to build out the funnel, for lack of a less cliched way of saying that. And what happened was, and I'm not going to get into too much of the nitty-gritty details, marketing budget was X. Maybe I'm not supposed to say this, but they can't fire me. I don't work for them anymore, right?
I don't think people can fire you after you've left.
Yeah, right? It's okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to get fired a lot for being on this podcast. Stories are revealed.
But, you know, look, you know, the marketing budget was what it was, and we thought the most effective way of doing this was organically, which I guess is every SEO's dream. But it was a little bit interesting because how do you go about using organic search in order to build up the brand? Because the main problem that was facing the brand at the time was lack of recognition. So, and I don't think people appreciate this enough. There's a tremendous amount of power in branding via SEO. Just to sort of top level explain what I mean by that is, imagine you search for things related to, I don't know, heart attacks. I don't know why it's always my go-to example. I have no idea why I keep using that. Maybe I'm really worried about having a heart attack one day. I don't know. However, if you keep seeing a certain website kind of pop up like every time, you know, let's say it's, you know, doctorwhatever.com, you start realizing, hey, Google keeps trusting this doctorwhatever.com. This must be a really good brand around health information. So when people keep seeing you show up over and over again, they keep seeing your content over and over again, it creates a certain perception around your brand. Oh, Google trusts them. They must be a great brand around this topic, whatever it is. So there is a strong overlap between branding and SEO, which I don't think is fully appreciated. I've seen that talked about with you know, featured snippets. If I get a featured snippet and no one clicks to it, they still see my brand. That's a very, I guess that's true, but that's a very narrow way or a very limited way of looking at the power of branding through SEO. And that's how it really got started. What we tried to do was create a lot of really good thought leadership content, get people coming into the blog from that, seeing, wow, this is really good. You must really know your stuff for SEO, and funnel them through to the actual product through that. At the same time, by doing that and creating that kind of content and seeing that kind of content show up, you create link possibilities. You also create the idea of, well, someone saw us for that keyword. This is a really great post. I'm going to feature them. And now there's also a brand position around that. In other words, like, the idea of getting the link from an SEO point of view is one thing. Getting the traffic from an actual traffic point of view, I think, is really the power of links. But there's another aspect of that. It's the brand aspect, that if people see your work featured on another site, And this would happen, let's say, with like with Search Engine Land. Like, we would get featured by Search Engine Land. People would see that. Like, wow, this company must be great. Search Engine Land is featuring their blog post or whatever it is. So there's a lot of ways that branding kind of comes in and through SEO. And that's it on like one foot.
At Rank Ranger at this time, 2015, 2016, had you had any experience in traditional, what you might call traditional branding or reputation management of any description?
No,
or
did none,
SEO come? You were learning about branding. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was, I was, I got into this whole SEO thing. I was, way back when as a property manager, it was like, it does nothing to do with anything. I was a teacher for a while, and then I started working for an educational software company doing content writing for them. I was one of the only native English speakers at the company, and they said, hey, could you write rep content for us? I'm like, I could write anything. What do you want to do with this thing? So they're like, well, we want to get organic traffic. I'm like, that's, yeah, what's organic traffic? I mean, I wasn't that naive, but it started from there, realizing, okay, I have this job now of creating web content. They want to bring in organic traffic from Google through that. How do I do that? And that began my journey on SEO. When I got over to Rank Ranger, it was on the content side, trying to manage their content. But then what are we trying to do with the content? And once you're trying to, what are you trying to do with the content? Now you get into marketing or strict to your traditional marketing. Forget about SEO. And then, but the main focus was again on organic marketing. So it was kind of this sort of perfect scenario where it naturally segued into thinking about brand and thinking about how to use SEO to leverage brand and all sorts of other marketing ideas. And eventually I got good at it and I became the CMO of the company, which is, wow, how did that happen? And that's where I guess you would say officially my journey as an SEO, but also as a brand marketer sort of really began.
What I'm interested in with both Rank Ranger, Wix, and we might talk about SEMrush a little bit today as well, is whether this, particularly for Rank Ranger when you got started, was the desire to spend your time in this branding and SEO space born out of a negative or difficult reputation, some form of search query that you wanted to control and manage, or was it just you saw it as an opportunity?
So no, was it about a negative sentiment? I think it was a lack of sentiment altogether. Just weren't there. We didn't feel that going through paid, like certain brands have done that, they really double down heavy on the paid side. Like, for example, when I was at SEMrush, that's something that they do very, very well. And that just goes to show you there's more than one way to skin a cat. But they didn't want to focus on paid. I don't think it didn't make sense as a brand for where they were to really double down on paid at that point. They really just needed a strong foundation of, okay, here we are. We're this trustworthy brand. And then to take it from there. But at that point, I already had moved on. So I can't speak to what they did after that. But that fundamentally worked. That strategy got us doubled our traffic through that strategy. And we got a lot of appearances on, we'll say, prominent SEO publications through that process. So it worked.
And throughout this process and the processes that we're going to be talking about today, are you speaking about brand and non-branded organic keywords as well, the targeting of those through whatever content you're producing?
Yeah, and it really was targeting non-branded keywords in that particular case.
Right.
And it's a combination of considering ranking and a combination of considering what kind of ranking in terms of the perception of that ranking, right? There's, again, this round thought leadership. So I wanted to be ranking for things like, why are SERP features important? That kind of thing. As opposed to track SERP features, which obviously we wanted to do, but that wasn't where we had necessarily a problem.
You got your foundation at Rank Ranger, and your title at Wix is Head of SEO Branding. And so was that a job title that was actually advertised, or did you mold the role based on the experience that you had?
So I completely made that up. So this is my second tour of duty at Wix. I was brought on. I was friendly with their – I am friendly – with their head of SEO on the product side. And he said, hey, we have this role. We have, a really bad reputation around SEO. We're trying to find somebody. We're looking from somebody, in New York and go to the conferences and maybe make some headway. But it was during COVID. So he said, hey, I don't know anybody in New York, but I know a guy who's here in Israel who's from New York. Does that count? And one thing led to another. And again, it was a lot of the experience around building up brand. In the case of Rank Ranger, was a negative perception, but building up some kind of percentage of perception, I guess, around the brand that said, that I think was attractive to Wix. Like, okay, here's somebody from the SEO community. He understands SEO, actually understands product as well, because I was working on the product at RankRanger at the same time. It's kind of a really good fit. Let's do that. And I became their SEO liaison or SEO advocate of sorts, talking about how the platform had changed. Because at that point, this is, I'm thinking summer 2020, the Wix platform for SEO had completely changed and no one knew about it. So my job was to come in, and it really was, and this is where there's another, like when you talk about branding and SEO, there's two ways, there's two things you're really talking about, I think. There's one is using SEO as a tool to build the brand and to leverage the brand and to create brand perception. And then there's your brand reputation around SEO, which is a very niche thing. Like, I only think, you know, companies like SEMrush care about that. Companies like Wix care about that. Companies like, you know, whatever, Ahrefs, you know, RankRanger, SEO, they care about that. That's a very niche kind of thing. And that's not really an SEO thing. That's really pure brand marketing at that point.
And can you recall when you started there, what goals were you given and the data, like what data did you consider? And I'm thinking, I'm trying to look at this through your eyes and think, you know, a company like Wix, when you go in, there is, particularly in the SEO space, so many assumptions, maybe misconceptions about SEO and Wix, and you have to prioritize where to start. Was that information given to you, or did you have to go through that strategic exercise of deciding which topics you were going to approach and how you were going to do it?
Right. Well, I guess the goal to the first question, the goal was, we have a bad reputation around SEO, fix it. That was the goal. That was the challenge.
Right.
In terms of data, so this is what's funny about brand marketing. This is why I like, I think, by the way, from my point of view, why SEO and brand marketing, outside of the fact that they overlap in so many ways, which I haven't even spoken about yet, but I find them to be very similar conceptually. Like, okay, where I exist in the SEO space, like my focus as a, from an SEO point of view, is I like the concepts behind search, like what's happening in the algorithm, what is Google looking for conceptually, what does that mean? Right, so very much from a content point of view, how do you go about, what's like, considering what Google's doing in the algorithm, what's the right way to do keyword research? What's the wrong way to do keyword research? Branding is very similar, right? You're trying to have a pulse on what's happening. You don't necessarily have concrete information. Like, I don't have concrete information about what Google's doing. I don't have access to their algorithm. They don't have concrete understanding of, and complete understanding of the algorithm. And you're trying to take a look at what's happening out there, what patterns do you see, and trying to find the underlying concepts. It's really the same thing with brand marketing, right? What's happening out there? Let's take the case of Wix. There's a negative perception. What's the underlying causality behind that? And because of what the underlying causality is, here's the approach to fix that. I mean, I'll speak in the particulars. The underlying causality at Wix is twofold. One was the platform had a bad reputation because it was not great for SEO long time ago, you know, talking like way back when. So Wix will be 16 years old in October. So you're talking in the beginning of the platform is built on Flash, not good for SEO. It used hashbang URLs, not good for SEO. Even John Mueller's pointed this out, particularly about Wix, like that, you know, those kind of things, that reputation lingers on. That was one problem. That problem was fixed by the time I got there. Right, the product itself was fundamentally different. Were there things that still needed to be done? Of course, there's always going to be things that need to be done. It's not that kind of thing where there's an end goal. Around the brand, what happened was there were things like, you know, Wix ran a Super Bowl commercial. I'm trying to think, maybe it was 2017, 2018. I always get the years wrong. I'm not good with dates. You know, basically making SEO seem really easy and simplified. And SEO, there was an article, I think, and I remember reading it, not at Wix, like, yeah, Wix, like, why'd you say that? Jumping on that bandwagon. Making, why, you know, you made SEO look so simple. What do you need us for? So things like trying, which, by the way, I call a comedy of errors, because no one at Wix thought the SEO community was even looking at that. They're trying to explain. There's a 30-second Super Bowl ad they pay millions of dollars for, and they're trying to figure out a way to speak to do-it-yourself creators at that point. I know Wix has kind of pivoted to expand beyond do-it-yourself creators, but back then, like, that was the main focus. You're trying to explain to somebody who doesn't really understand what SEO even is in a 30-second ad spot, of which SEO is one small part of it. So you have like 3 seconds to do it. Here's how we did it. And obviously that didn't speak well to SEOs. I don't think there's any way you could possibly do that in a way that would speak well to whatever professional community, whether it be designer, developers, or SEOs in that context. So that was just a comedy of errors, a mistake. So now how do you go about fixing that? So again, like you, once you identify the causality and you have a kind of a finger on the pulse, and this is why I guess like in brand marketing, I would say it's really important, just like in content creation. You can go to the SERP, you can copy what's out there, right? I don't really, I'm trying to write content about, I don't know, you know, transmissions. I don't know nothing about cars. I'll go to the SERP, I'll Google it, I'll create copycat content or skyscraper content, blah, blah, blah. That's not a great way to do it. The best way to do it is to really yourself be an expert and have some kind of familiarity with transmission so you can actually write really good content, which is why Google, to say this as somebody who works on the CMS side, has really cozied up to some of the CMSs because they understand there's a content gap of really good content out there and they need the business owners or the people who work at these businesses to write that content because some content marketing agency or SEO who's going to the SERP and creating copycat content, that's not really fulfilling the need. Same thing with brand marketing. Like, yeah, you're trying to be an advocate within a certain niche, whether it's SEO or, you know, performance or reliability. If you're not within that world, you don't have familiarity with that world, you're not going to really have a finger on the pulse to say, here's the problem, here's how you fix it. All I did when I came into Wix was say, well, look, the product team already handled it. They're amazing. By the way, like I've worked with many product teams. Many of them are very, very good. The Semrush team is amazing. The Wix team is unbelievable. It's like, it's phenomenal just to sit back and watch it. They did that for me. I ain't fixed the product. I ain't do anything. Yes, obviously, like I chimed in like as an advocate saying, hey, you know, I think we should do this. I think we should do that. You know, this is my opinion. And we can have a conversation about that. But where I came in was saying like, look, I think the problem is like we just need to speak to SEOs and let them make their own decision. Let's not market this. The problem is that we try to market SEO to SEOs and you can't market to marketers. So, hey, SEOs, here's what we did. Here's what's changed. What's your feedback? What would you like to see differently? Make your own decision. As a marketer, by the way, and this applies to SEOs also, like I see this mistake on landing pages all the time. You need to let your consumer base make their own decision. So when you make create a landing page and you're like, all right, CTA here, CTA here, buy, it's a turn off to the user because they need to feel like they're making their own decision. They need to feel autonomous. If you're shoving CTAs down their throat and they feel like you're just pushing me too hard, you may rank very well at that landing page, but you're not going to get the conversion because you have to let the consumer make their own decision. In the case of the SEO industry, as a brand marketer, you need to put the information out there and let people, they're smart, let them make their own decision and see like, hey, this is actually good. And over time, that's really worked because now people see that Wix SEO is actually really good. Check that out.
I think that's a really interesting insight because when a lot of people think about branding and reputation, I might have even said it myself as we were talking at the very beginning, but there's perhaps the philosophy that you should control the narrative around your brand in search results. And actually there's an element of stating the facts. So you're looking at this from a position of let's state the facts to the SEO community about what's happening in Wix and let them make their own decisions. Let's not try too hard to control the narrative.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's basically coming in and saying, I respect you. You're my audience and I respect you.
And I'm really interested to know if there are any other specialists at Wix that are responsible for branding of other disciplines. And I'll give you some context about why I'm asking this question. As I was thinking about, I know the SEO community is very active, opinionated, and I was thinking, are other disciplines the same? So do you have as a passionate of a UX community? Do you have as passionate of a, I don't know, design community? Are there other specialists at Wix responsible for this kind of work in other disciplines?
So, well, within SEO, we have other people actually. So, Crystal Carter works as we're on the same team. She's a head of comms around SEO. So, we have a lot of, on the SEO side. You have people, for example, we have a product called Velo, which is like it is a full stack dev tool within the Wix ecosystem, and they have, I guess, their advocates who I've interacted with before. You have other community managers for all other sorts of communities. Yeah. SEO is different though. because it's not just like, yeah, community management, because there's a lot that goes with like SEO. I don't think it's a kind of thing you could bring somebody in and be like, okay, like here's what's going on. Let's catch you up to speed on the SEO stuff. You really have to know the SEO stuff because it really interacts with the product so intrinsically. Whereas if you're a community manager around, you know, whatever product it is at Wix, you know, we have like a digital marketing tools, like, you know, like email marketing tools. Okay, like it does rely on the product, obviously, but I don't think, maybe I'm misspeaking, I don't think it's an intrinsic of a dynamic between the marketing and the product itself and the complexity of the product, because SEO touches everything. So even though it might not be technically part of our SEO offering, if there's something on the blog and how you are able or not able to create content, that does impact SEO. So it's a different kind of advocate, a much more integrated. I would say the SEO marketing side or brand side is probably the most integrated team with the product side. There's very, very like symbiotic, which I think makes it unique. On the other teams, let's say like performance or reliability, I think what we're trying to do now is saying, look, what this really worked for SEO. How can we replicate this model in other teams? And I think that is happening now at Wix.
Yeah, it is interesting. You're right. The dynamic between the SEO community and certain platforms is really fascinating. And it's very hard to describe. I think you did a good job there, but it's like an intangible thing. Maybe it's the history of SEO, how SEO has developed. There are passionate SEO community members out there that want to know the differences between platforms. I think you used the word intrinsic, the intricacies of how SEO works on specific platforms. And that's just something that's fascinating to me about the SEO space. You were talking about the content that you produce, and you said you're not solely responsible for the content that you produce. You have other team members and other people that contribute. Are we talking about static copy? And I was thinking we're on a podcast today. So at some point, maybe your strategy has changed to encompass podcasting to support with the SEO branding exercises. What sort of content are you producing?
There's so much content. I mean, on the podcast, I just happen to like podcasts. But it's always good. It's a good way to interact with the SEO community to, you know, offer again some information to make you, like, to be honest, like make you more human. Here's what we did. Here's how it works. I'm happy to be transparent about everything. So I think there's a nice story in there, like what we did, how we did, and how we were so transparent about it, which is why I like doing podcasts. But I would say, like, lately, my main thrust of education of content, ironically, has been very internal. Not to say it's external. There's not external. We just put out the complete guide to Wix SEO. We have a Wix SEO learning hub. Yeah. I always get the URL wrong because I always, like, my mind, it's like inverse.
I will find it and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's wix.com/SEO/learning. I always put the slash learn first, but it's /SEO/learn. It's a whole lot of SEO information. If you want to talk about like the branding side of this and the SEO side of this, this really comes together. Look, if people go out there and they Google things like, you know, why canonicalization is important. So our SEO learning hub and our content on that topic ranks number 2. Like, oh, wow, Wix number 2 for that very SEO-y keyword? That's interesting. I never would have expected that. And then you go to the copy and it's really good. Why? This is my like big SEO theory with our hub is we created a hub to help people find good content. That was just the right thing to do. It was a unique positioning because really very few people are in the opportunity to do that. Most other websites need the acquisition angle of that. I don't blame them. That's just how life works, but we don't. We have a Wix blog and they can do their acquisition thing and create the content and find that good balance, which they do. But we don't have to worry about acquisition on this hub because it's purely informational. It's really to help SEOs in general, people who are trying to come into the SEO community and our own users learn more about SEO. So we can write really, really good content, which, by the way, happens to rank really, really well in general. And to be honest, we have the benefit of the strength of the domain, of the Wix domain. So it's pretty straightforward to rank content that's really, really good. So there's so many things in that, right? There's the branding aspect of people go, they Google something, it's a very SEO-focused keyword, and Wix is ranking there. That creates a new branding perception. We get to help people find really good content about SEO and outside of the intrinsic value in that, there's a branding aspect of that too. Like, okay, like Wix is writing really good content. There's definitely a branding element to that. So we are putting things out like ultimate, you know, not ultimate, that's terrible, complete guides to Wix SEO, which really runs through from like A to Z, everything you need to know about SEO and Wix. And in doing that, by the way, it wasn't just like documentation. We try to contextualize it to show you like, okay, here's best SEO practices as well as how to do that within the Wix ecosystem. There's a lot of, and what I mentioned before, focus on internal content, content to our own teams about, because there's a lot of different producers of content at Wix. And SEO is one of, it's one of the core pillars of Wix. Like, it has C-level involvement on the product side and the marketing side. We want to do a good job with SEO, which means that when, and that means the product. And it also means that when someone is writing from a social media post to whatever, I was looking at a video this morning before we jumped on the call. It's a video about what Wix offers inside of its platform. One of the things in there happens to be SEO. So like, I need to go make sure like we're speaking about SEO the right way in that. A lot of the content I'm creating is education to our own teams about what is SEO, how do we talk about SEO, what works when you talk about SEO, what doesn't. For example, if you're a marketer, the first thing you want to do is sell. Okay, with SEO, it's really a long-term game. Please, you know, we have to make sure that we speak about SEO in a mature way that doesn't oversell SEO, which is a problem not with Wix, but I see that across the board with SEO. So there's a lot of content in a lot of different ways, a lot of user education, right? If you're a Wix user, you're an enterprise client, you're an SMB, you're an SME, you're a business owner, but you don't know anything about SEO. How can you best leverage the SEO tools? There's a ton of SEO content from all directions that we're creating.
For the external SEO community, how do you prioritize the topics that you're going to cover? You talked a moment ago about, I think, canonicalization as an example. You know, I know SEO internationalization is a hot topic that always comes up. But yeah, you've talked a few times about keeping your finger on the pulse. So I'm interested to know, how do you spend your time and curate and prioritize the themes and topics that you proactively cover?
So I'll just tell you what we do with the hub that I mentioned. So there's multiple kinds of content. There's like, you know, I'll split it between, say, foundational content and more advanced content or thought leadership kind of content. When it comes to that more advanced content, we'll reach out to somebody and say, hey, we love your content. We love what you do. It's really good. It's really quality. And we feel that it has value to our audience. Sometimes it'll be somebody who they have their lane. So we kind of know what they're going to write about. But if it's somebody who writes about a wide range of things, we'll ask them, write about the thing that you do best, because we want the best content. You choose. So there's multiple approaches to it, where it's more of the foundational content, because where we want to, again, make sure that anybody from someone getting into SEO, someone who's been SEO for 3-4 years, or someone who really doesn't even know what SEO is. So there's foundational content. We have, you know, a set of topics we want to cover. It's not that we're saying, hey, let's go rank for this keyword. This, you know, we looked at it and we threw into SEMrush, and it seems that everybody from SEJ to Search Engine Land to SEMrush have forgotten about this keyword. Let's go after it. It's more, there's the foundational topics. Let's break those topics down. What do we need to create, or what topics do we need to cover in order to offer a really well-rounded educational experience? So that's how we take that. No, I was going to say the same is applied towards, you know, other content that we create. So with the SEO guide that we just created. So that was something we saw like there was a need for. I was talking with somebody in the industry. They said, hey, you have a bunch of different resources, but is there one resource that you have where I can just look at everything as sort of like as a reference? I'm like, no, but there should be. So we did it.
Okay, so that's a really good example, because that interaction with the community is, I think your role crosses over into aspects of community management. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, for sure.
I was thinking about community management and the feedback that you get from the community, and then that how that informs product changes. And I didn't know, I assumed that you would work closely with professionals like product managers and product marketers. Is that the case? Is there like a feedback loop there?
Yeah. So there's so many different ways we get feedback. One is from our own support team, right? What are the pain points of existing users? There's obviously feedback from the community itself, what they want. And we, you know, one of the things I, especially in the onset, was tell us what you want. I will take that to the product team. And there have been things that we've taken, not just on the SEO side, that people say, hey, you know, this just, you know, this about using Wix was a little of a pain point for me. And I'm happy to take that with whatever team as soon as I can track them down. We have an SEO advisory board. So that's Andrew Optimizey, Nick Leroy, Simon Cox, Michelle Robbins, and Cindy Crum. And so we have regular meetings with them around the product. We get their feedback on what they want to see. By the way, not just for, and this is what makes it, one of the things that I love about Wix is being able to work on product development, because I just happen to like that, because you're speaking to so many audiences, particularly as something like, you know, if you're a company like, let's say you're Screaming Frog, you really have like a niche audience, right? It's SEO pros who kind of know what they're doing and are really interested in doing deep site audits. With Wix, it's really complicated because you have SEOs, you have people who are your general digital marketers who kind of know SEO, you have site owners, and then once you go into actual site owners, now you're talking about all sorts of sites, big sites, small sites, e-com, blog, a medium site, and how do you speak to all those people, and what tools do those people need are all very different sometimes. So that's why even like, you know, the SEO board, you would think, wow, I just threw up a whole bunch of big SEO names. A lot of the focus of the board has been, what do we do to make SEO done right by even the most basic of SEO familiarity, of a person with the most basic SEO familiarity, which again is not always a one audience. That's, again, that could be the CEO of a major company who's like, yeah, we need to, you know, build a platform that's built on solid SEO practice. What do they need? Versus, you know, a mom and pop store who has a spun up a website. What do they need out of SEO? And both don't know SEO.
Thinking about the types of content that you produce, one thing that came through my mind is webinars. We've talked a little bit about podcasting there. We talked a little bit about static content. Do you ever try and curate members of the community all in one space at one time? I think about that as maybe being an efficient way to accelerate feedback. Has that worked? Is that something you've experimented with at Wix?
There were definitely thoughts. I mean, outside of putting out, you know, crowdsourcing of, hey, we're looking for feedback, or we just put this out, what do you all think? Which has been very helpful. There were like ideas floating around, like how to get like wider feedback. I've done a lot of market research, like reaching out to people individually. I think at one point I've reached out to, you know, had like actual Zoom meetings with 50 or so SEOs about what do you think about the product and the brand, what could be doing differently. You know, having one place, you know, there are things that we are doing, for example, that kind of do that. There are webinars, first off. Like, for example, the day of this recording, we have a webinar with Marcus Tober of SEMrush around keyword intent. I'll plug this here if I can plug one thing. We're throwing in an integration with SEMrush into the Wix platform that will be coming out. By the time this podcast is out, it might be already out, but it will be out in the relative near future, that helps you gain access to keyword research right inside of the Wix dashboard when you're setting up your website. So exclusive. But anyway, there are things we do. Like one of the things that we're trying to set up now, which I guess another tease, but not in a promotional way, is doing a site clinics where we want to bring in, you know, hey, Wix community, send us your website. We'll pick a couple. Let's bring in people from our own SEO team. So myself or Crystal Carter or maybe Natalie Malik on the product side. And let's bring in somebody from the community who has a different point of view outside of the Wix ecosystem, and let's run through your site and offer you some great advice about what you're doing with your site. So like there are, you know, public ways that people can get a look at Wix and what they think should be in there, or maybe it could be done a little bit differently. So we try to put those things out there so people can offer the feedback. But if you're listening to this, honest to God, like we really value the feedback. It's always helpful to have extra eyes on the outside. So tell us.
I know you've consulted for SEMrush in this kind of role. And what I was curious about coming into this episode is SEMrush's recent acquisition of Backlinko, because I thought that made sense for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is branding, SEO branding. To acquire Backlinko, that reputation that you inherit from Brian Dean, I thought that was a genius move. I'm just curious for your thoughts on that. Maybe you think that's the same, a really good move.
Yeah, so I was actually at Semrush when they did that. I was working as their head of comms for a while. I still consult with them, and I think, you know, zoom out from the backlinko thing for a second, because the backlinko thing, in my opinion, is, you know, just one part of the puzzle. I think Semrush is pretty brilliant in what they're doing. If you look at what they're doing, if you look at their ads on YouTube, it all kind of aligns. They realize, like, okay, SEO is really, let's democratize SEO, which I think you see Google doing. I think you see platforms, you know, like Wix doing and beyond, where SEO can be, obviously, if you are an SEO, you've been involved in SEO for a long time, you're a pro. The level of knowledge and insight that you have is uncomparable. However, there are basic things and things that people can do on their own if you give them the education, if you give them the access, if you give them the opportunity to do that to improve their own sites. And if you look at what Semrush is doing, they're saying, hey, SMB, you too can take advantage of the digital ecosystem. We have some tools that you can use. And if you think about it, if you throw a URL into a domain or whatever it is into Semrush, if you explain that to somebody, it's not, obviously, there are things that are super complicated inside the platform. It's not that complicated. Okay, keywords have gone up. Traffic has gone up. Okay, there's a keyword over. There's a gap. I don't have these keywords. My competitor does have those keywords. So let's democratize this a little bit. Gives access to a wider audience. And as a business, now you're opening up your platform and market not just to one niche audience, but to, well, kind of to everybody. So I think it's a brilliant move from that point of view.
We've talked a lot about like anecdotal feedback in this episode, but I am interested to know, I think when we talk about reputation, when we talk about branding, I expect a lot of listeners will think, oh, there might be some kind of sentiment metric that you measure. Do you? I'm interested. Is there something that you measure more formally like that or not at all?
So I'll tell you, and I feel this way about SEO data as well, as somebody who's worked with a lot of SEO data. Data is good to a point. But if you have a feel for what's going on and you have a gut instinct, you've been doing SEO for a long time, you kind of have an intuition about things. That's data also. Well, how is that data? That's totally not data, Morty. So your brain is basically AI and steroids. Right? Your brain processes millions upon millions of signals without you doing anything. Kind of your brain is everything that Google's machine learning wants to be. It's why it's called rank brain. Because trying to imitate your brain. So don't throw your
brain. You gotta be careful.
Don't do drugs.
Hyping me up, Morty.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna start getting an ego.
Well, let's do it. But don't do drugs. You know, keep your brain intact. Why? So you can do things like this. So you can say, you know what? Like, yeah, tool is telling me this, but I have an intuition about what's going on because my brain is data. Particularly really important on the brand side because there are tools. I look at a couple. There's some social media listening tools that are out there. Some of them have a sentiment metric. None of them are really very good, to be honest with you. They haven't figured it out yet. They're, you know, okay. The most important thing that I measure is momentum. You look at an election. So the, you know, in the U.S., let's say presidential election. So I'm from the U.S. I'm biased towards just thinking about the U.S. like this. You feel a certain momentum. You're like, look, I don't care what the polls are telling me. Like, kind of feels like this person's going to win, unfortunately. I'm thinking back to the 2016 election. And there's momentum and cadence and the sense of what's happening out there, to me, are more important than any other, you know, metric that's out there. If you have a feel for what's going on in this, you can tangibly feel that energy. That's kind of what you're going for. And even though you can, because I've been in cases where, yeah, the data has been like, you know, our traffic is increasing or this is increasing, it's working. But that it factor, that momentum wasn't there. And that is probably from a brand point of view, the most important thing. And to really, that's why you have to be integrated in whatever community you're trying to be a part of, because the data can't give you that.
Are there any other brands that you admire that you think really, that you respect and you think do a really good job of producing content for their communities?
You know who did an amazing job at this? Content.
Branding. Right. Yeah.
Right? I think it's a lesson for all SEO platforms out there who are trying to do what they did, which is basically they built an incredible reputation. One, the product is very sound. You have to have a good product. Like, I don't care. You can't put lipstick on a pig. And what they did was they just wrote really good content. And when you looked at it, whether you actually read all the way through it or not, you looked at like, now this is really good content. And of course, they did the things like they involved influencers, like they had quotes from the latest Solus in there, blah, blah, blah. And that's always good to do those things to, you know, leverage the visibility, obviously be smart about it. But fundamentally, what they did was they just wrote really good content. And when you, and you started to respect them. And this is something I think people, brands don't realize. And I don't think this is unique to the SEO industry, but it's definitely out there in the SEO industry. The thing that you want the most is not for people to gush over you. What you, the thing you want the most is for people to respect you. And you look at a brand like Content King, you really respect them. Like, they did a really good job. And now the things that they're doing around their branding with the socks and the this, that all works because of that. And what I think people don't appreciate, and this all, like, I'll get off my high horse in a second about this, or my soapbox. What people don't appreciate about branding is that branding is not the kind of thing where, okay, how many sales did I get out of this? Branding is the thing that lets you, that allows you to have that. Like, it's not even planting the seeds. It's sowing the grounds that you could plant the seed for the sale, right? So if I'm Content King, people really respect me. I send out the socks. Now people love the socks. If they didn't respect them, people wouldn't love the socks the way they did. But they do because, yeah, it's a brand I can get behind. So like, okay, now I got the socks out. Then everybody's tweeting about their socks. Now I have the visibility. Now I'm bringing in more sales. But that only happened because the brand was really respected, in my opinion.
Mordy, I know we're coming towards the end of our time together, but before we close out the episode, I wanted to get your thoughts, anything that's top of mind for you, a kind of quick myth-busting section. So is there anything out there in the SEO space related to Wix that you just want the opportunity to say, hey, SEO community, you know, this thing is not true and we're working on it, or we've done this, or we've improved? Anything that comes to mind for you?
Well, yeah, I guess. Well, first off, I do want to say I do really appreciate the SEO community. They've been so receptive to what we've been doing and so receptive to the changes that we've been making. I feel like we've turned the corner on that kind of thing where I don't have a particular thing like, oh, yeah, you can't do this with Wix. No, it's true. The one thing that I do see out there, maybe more on, let's say, like Reddit than, let's say, on Twitter, is, oh, you can't rank on it with a Wix site, which is like, what? I literally get an email every day, like a sampling of, you know, it's got like a dozen or so keywords from all over the world and the keywords that the Wix site ranks for. So I literally get an email full of this stuff. Like, sometimes it's a lot of brand stuff, sometimes it's not, because again, it's a random sampling. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Like, that's a national keyword from in the UK. I forgot, you know, I'll try to remember the case. I think it was ice skating. I think ice skating in the UK.
Heart attacks in the UK.
I'm steering away from my heart attack. I know I'm off brand here, but yeah, what is it? Ice skating.org.uk is a Wix site, and they rank for ice skating in the UK because it's a UK organization. Maybe they rank in the US. I don't really know. I never checked it. So I mean, like, so like when people say that, look, we have 200 plus million users. With most of them have, you know, I would say multiple websites. I'm making that fact up. I don't know if that's true or not, but a lot of people have more than one website on Wix. So you're talking way more than 200 plus million websites. You mean to tell me they're not ranking? Like, none of them are ranking?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a myth that you don't really need to bust, but I understand why you'd have to say it. So let's just kill the potential myth right now, is that you absolutely can rank with a Wix site. And all you need to do is hear what Mordy's been talking about today and go look at the content that Wix produce. You'll see from the content they produce the number of sites that rank. So yeah, let's kill that potential myth there.
With fire. Kill it with fire.
Yeah, with fire. Mordy, it's been a pleasure speaking to you this morning. But before we close out the episode, do you want to let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, connect with you, and Wix, and particularly Wix and SEO?
For sure. So I'm on Twitter for the most part. So, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn also, but mostly on Twitter at Morty Oberstein. I don't do TikTok. I'm on Facebook, but I really don't like Facebook. And the Wix on the SEO stuff. So definitely check out the Wix SEO Learning Hub. As again, it's wix.com/SEO/learn. There's webinars, there's Altiz, like there's an upcoming podcast that's coming out, videos, articles, a lot of really good stuff around SEO. And you can see about the product there as well.
Wonderful. All that's left to say, Mordy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And this has been the Internet Marketing Podcast. Take care.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.